Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. We are possessive. He joins us weekly. The films No Time to Die, Belfast, and The Souvenir Part 2. What happened to Part 1?
Part 1 was out, not that many years ago, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago. This is Part 2, and we'll get to this film in a moment. But it's kind of interesting that it's sort of getting the Godfather treatment with the sequel with the Roman numerals in the title and all that, even though it couldn't be less like the Godfather type of film. But we'll get to that in a few moments. I'd like to say a little bit about the new James Bond movie, which has already been out a little while. It took me a little time to catch up with it because I've been watching James Bond movies since the franchise began decades ago, and you know, I can't say I was actually on the edge of my seat, you know, suffused with anticipation for the new movie. I do think that Daniel Craig has been a very good James Bond, and this movie is its own little historical marker in the series, in the franchise, because this is Daniel Craig's last essay of the part. He's not going to do any more of these, which I think is wise, and that kind of got me thinking back to when Sean Connery, who of course was the original James Bond, when the whole thing started with movies like Dr. No and Goldfinger and From Russia with Love. And he really wisely got out of that franchise after, you know, a limited number of films. I can't remember exactly how many, because he didn't want to be typecast in that role forever. And so, you know, very, very wise of him. And I think that every James Bond since has pretty much done that. They've played it for a while. Roger Moore did it for a while. Timothy Dalton didn't really do it very well and was not very well received. So I think he was more kicked out of the franchise than chose to resign to avoid typecasting. But the point is that they all seem to know that there's a certain time when you got to get out of this thing, or else they're just going to always think of you as James Bond, and you want to do other things with your life and your career and your profession. So now Daniel Craig is making that decision too. Also, I have to say, he doesn't look quite as young and fresh now in this movie as he did when he started in the franchise just a few years ago. So probably he's wise to get out before James Bond starts to look a little bit decrepit. Anyway, No Time to Die is nothing if not ambitious. It was directed by Kari Joji Fukunaga from a screenplay that he wrote with a couple of collaborators. And the movie is going on 3 hours long. So, hey, that seems to be a trend nowadays, really long movies. And it has the usual sort of epic feel that the James Bond movies usually have. It tells a fairly complicated story and it has a lot of action in it and all of that. This time, though, and this is, I'm going to stray a little bit close to spoiler territory maybe, but I've waited till this movie was out a little bit, and so I think anybody who really cares about this movie has probably seen it by now, especially since it's been streaming for a little while now as well as in theaters. But this is a movie which has a darker tone to it than a lot of the James Bond movies. So maybe it's appropriate that Daniel Craig is maybe looking his age a little bit. The movie has some sad elements in it. It has some mournful elements in it. And above all, and again, I think everybody knows this by now, but James Bond does not survive this particular installment of the franchise. By the time that it ends, he is dead. Now, of course, the magic of movies, as Hollywood used to like to say. There we have James Bond getting blown up at the end of No Time to Die. And one of the things that appears in the end credits is James Bond will return. So don't worry about James Bond. He's going to be back. It doesn't matter that he's dead, and I'm sure he won't be resurrected in some mysterious way. I'm sure he'll just be back with a new actor playing him. But anyway, this No Time to Die, the title has death in it, and the movie is a bit mournful, a bit darker than some of the James Bond installments have been hitherto. It has a terrific cast, of course, as these movies pretty much always do. There are a number of people who were in earlier James Bond movies in recent years who come back playing the same characters. So we get to see people like Ralph Fiennes and the wonderful Jeffrey Wright and Christoph Waltz and people like this. And then, of course, there are new characters as well who are, doing their usual kinds of things. And we have the perennial James Bond characters, Moneypenny and M and so forth. So we get to see all those people. One interesting little thing is that there is a character named Nomi, who is played by Lashana Lynch, who is a new agent who now has the number 007. I should say that James Bond has left MI6 and is now recruited by the CIA in this movie. So that's kind of the premise of it. He's working for the CIA and he's been replaced, and there's a new female James Bond character who is now 007, and there's a little rivalry between them, and she sort of tweaks him about, oh, I bet that really bothers you that you're not 007 anymore and now I am. So that's a little bit amusing, and she's really good. I really like Lashana Lynch as that character. So anyway, the point is, if you like James Bond movies, you'll probably like this one, even though it's a little bit darker than most of them. And if you're not that interested in James Bond movies, then this one probably won't recruit you to the cause. In any case, it is a long movie. It is full of stars. It is full of action. It is full of a little bit of melodrama. Well, actually more than a little bit. And it delivers what I think James Bond aficionados really want from the franchise. So again, if you're a James Bond fan, run out and see No Time to Die if you haven't done so already. If you're not, well, you can probably afford to skip it. Our next movie is really, really different. Our next movie for today, Jill, is Belfast, which was written and directed by Kenneth Branagh, the very, very major and important actor and sometimes director, a very important force in modern-day British cinema, and not only British cinema. He's a very versatile actor who can do a lot of things. And here he has written and directed an intensely personal film which has a lot to do with his own childhood. And his own childhood took place, well, this deals with his pretty early childhood in the 1960s. The movie takes place in 1969, when, of course, the terrible Irish Troubles are very much going on. And this is actual warfare between Catholics and Protestants in the city of Belfast in Ireland. And this 9-year-old boy, who is, of course, he's called Buddy in the movie, but he is, of course, Branagh himself, is stuck in the middle of all of this awful violence. I should say he and his family are stuck in the middle of it. So we start off the movie with these beautiful full-color shots of Belfast as it is today. And then, interestingly, the movie switches to black and white when we dissolve back to 1969 for the rest of the movie. And we have a little boy, and he's having a lot of fun, and he's playing in the streets of the city, and there's a lot of kids around and a lot of grown-ups around, and it's all a very nice scene, and he's clearly very much at home there. And then suddenly we are reminded that there are riots and conflicts and really horrifying things going on, with explosions and people breaking things and violence in the air. And that's what the movie is really going to be about. But it's really about Buddy. It's about 9-year-old Buddy and his family. His father has to be working in England a lot of the time because that's where his job takes him. So his father is really away for a lot of the time, which leaves his mother looking after the family, and his grandparents are also very much around, and they are very major characters in the movie. And the thing is that these people in this terrible conflict, this violent conflict between the Roman Catholics and the Protestants, the family wants no part of this. They just don't see, you know, they're Protestants and they're living in a mostly Catholic neighborhood, and they just can't understand why there has to be all this horrible strife around them. They don't feel the kind of hostility. They don't share in the kinds of nastiness that are felt by so many people on both sides all around them. They just want to live their lives. But of course, the people who are in conflict, the people who are ginning all this up and in the middle of, you know, creating all of this conflict, they aren't going to allow people to be neutral and to just live their lives. You've got to choose a side. And that's one of the things that this movie is about. Somebody says, well, we're not on one side or the other. And somebody says, you've got to choose a side. That is the way things are around here. And so that's a conflict right at the very center of the movie. But again, the movie is seeing all this through a child's point point of view. So we're not dealing here with a heavily political movie. We're dealing here, it's a very heavily political movie, but all seen through the eyes of a child who is certainly not versed in the nuances of all this, or really even understanding a lot of the basics. It's just a lot of violence and conflict going on when you have a kid who's just trying to grow up. And that's what the movie is about, and that is apparently how Branagh saw things as a child, and that is the version of these events that he wants to bring to us. So it's a very interesting movie. There have been plenty of movies before about various phases of Irish troubles over the years. Going back to the 1930s, there have been movies about this. But this is a modern-day take on the 60s version of these conflicts. And it's actually very, very nicely done. Now, the movie didn't excite me. It didn't make me sit on the edge of my seat or laugh or cry or any of that. I was steadily engaged in it. It's a beautifully shot movie. The cinematography is very crisp and clear, and everything looks really, really appealing to the eye, even when some very unpleasant stuff is going on the screen. And it never overdoes the violence or overdoes the sentimentality, even though those things are very much in the movie. And the cast is really, really good. At the very center of the movie is a very young kid playing 9-year-old Buddy. And the kid's name is Jude Hill. And he is really, really good. I mean, when you have a movie like this with a child actor at the very center of it, you better have a good child actor. And they really, really lucked out here with excellent, excellent work by young Jude Hill. I'm sure it's partly the way the filmmakers handled him, especially Branagh as the director. But he's a good child actor, and I hope he has a bright future in the movies. I also mainly want to mention the grandparents, played by the great Judi Dench and Sharon Hines, who are both very, very good in those very key roles in the movie. So, a lot of this movie reminded me of stuff that's going on in the United States of America today. The conflict between the Catholics and the Protestants reminds me of some ways of the conflict that's going on right now between, among other factions, Republicans and Democrats in the United States, and how a lot of people who just want to live their lives are sort of in the middle of things like school board fights, for example, that aren't letting them just sort of stay quietly neutral and just living their lives. So I think the movie, even though it takes place in Ireland in the 60s, is relevant to things that are going on in the United States today. And that's another level of interest that this movie has. Not a great movie, but a very good movie and a very personal one from Kenneth Branagh. And our final film today, Jill, is called The Souvenir Part 2. And it is a sequel to a movie that came out just a very few years ago called, you guessed it, The Souvenir. And these are both movies written and directed by Joanna Hogue. And she is a very, very personal filmmaker who makes very quiet, muted films. Her films have never really captured me. I've never seen one yet that really sort of swept me up and made me think she's a great filmmaker. She has fans who really, really are profoundly committed to her work. I'm not one of them. I respect her work, but I don't think she's a great filmmaker. The Souvenir dealt with a young woman, and I want to mention the cast right away. The main character of both these movies is played by Honor Swinton Byrne, who is the daughter of Tilda Swinton, who was also in these movies. And Honor Swinton Byrne is a very fine young actor, and Tilda Swinton is one of the finest actors on the scene today and has been for a very long time. So if no other reason, The Souvenir and The Souvenir Part 2 are very worthwhile seeing for the work of these two wonderful actors. But Honor Swinton Byrne plays in both movies, and I'll just talk about The Souvenir. Well, I talked a little bit about the first one too. But she plays a young woman who is a film student. She's studying filmmaking, and what happens in the earlier film, which you don't have to have seen, you can understand The Souvenir Part 2, even if you've never seen The Souvenir, she gets involved with a young man who becomes her boyfriend, and he works for the British Foreign Office, apparently, and it turns out, around halfway through The Souvenir, that he is a heroin addict, and he still leads a reasonably respectable life, but he is addicted to drugs and uses heroin habitually, and this becomes, of course, a great flashpoint and troubling element of their relationship. And at the end of The Souvenir, he dies. At the beginning of The Souvenir Part 2, our main character, Julie, is in mourning for him and trying to come to terms with her relationship with him and with his death. And she is helped in this by her parents, particularly her mother, played by Tilda Swinton. And she is now making a movie as a student to express her grief and work through her grief and try to understand her grief through the filmmaking process. And she, since she's still a student, this runs afoul of her teachers and mentors, who want her to have a sort of a carefully shaped screenplay that she's going to work from and create a work which follows all the rules of traditional filmmaking, but she wants to do something far more expressive, something far more emotive, which is working through a crisis that she is undergoing right now, in which her film will be about. So it's an interesting movie about the artistic process. It's an interesting movie about grieving. And it's an interesting movie about family relations, because, again, she is very much involved with her parents and especially her mother, and also her fellow students and some friends as she works through this grief. The Souvenir Part 2 is a very heartfelt movie, a very sincere movie. I ultimately found it underwhelming, but there are people who find it overwhelming, who find it a superb exploration of grief and the artistic process. I think it's an interesting exploration of those things. Not a great film, but a very good film. And again, just like the Branagh film, a profoundly personal film. And I'm just glad that movies like this are still being made and are still actually getting into the actual circuit of distributed movies in the United States, so that anybody who's interested can go and see them. And I hope that people do see The Souvenir Part 2. I find it not a great film, but a very worthwhile film and a good sign that personal independent cinema is still alive and well. So that is my partly personal and independent story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films No Time to Die, Belfast, and The Souvenir Part 2.